hope everyone has a lovely cup of coffee. This is a new roast today from Yada Yada we were trying out. It's Panamanian, so if you're a Panamaniac, that's good for you. Well, welcome everyone, whether you're in person or online. Welcome to Church in the Falls. So glad that all of you are here. We are a family that anyone can belong to, right? We're embracing God, encouraging each other, and equipping the church to engage the world. And our ultimate goal is we want to know the Lord Jesus Christ and what? And make Him known. It's a powerful yet simple image with a lot of work to go with it. Well, first of all, let me say thank you for all your well wishes and your prayers this week. I feel a lot better. I still have this awful tickle in my throat. It's just insanely frustrating. So if I go to hacking up here, forgive me. I'll do my best to cough that way. But that's the only thing that's really still bothering me. Just irritating. I don't know if you can relate to that, but that's what's going on. Also, I know this week has been a hard week with the shooting in Texas. It's just sad when we see the brokenness of our world. And it reminds us of what's most important and what we need to be about in treating each other with respect and love. And that is the topic of the day, and we're going to talk about it. But if you would join with me, I'd like to just offer maybe 20 seconds of silence and just whatever God lays on your heart, especially with regard to Texas and what's going on there and the struggles that are going to trickle out over the years, the families who are wrestling with death or near death, and anxiety of what was and what might be. If you join with me in a moment of silence and offer a prayer, and I'll just close it out. Father, we lift up Uvalde, Texas, Robb Elementary School. We lift up the teachers and the students, the families of those who have passed and those who survived. Lord, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. We pray for your presence to be all around, for it to be clear. And Lord, above all else, teach us to love well. Teach us to love well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That passage that was just referenced, Romans 5:7, very rarely will someone die for a righteous man, but for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. What's that about, right? Righteous means you can be right, you can be correct, but you may not be very good. There's a distinction between those two, and that's what that passage is drawing out. And he goes on further to say that Jesus died when we were reprehensible. So it's even worse than either of those two categories. But what I want you to think about is this. It's highly possible to be a saved Christian and to not be very good. And what we've been talking about is how to move from elementary school to adulthood. That's the difference. In school, we learn right from wrong and black and white. And that's important. But mature Christians are good. So I want to challenge you to think about that. How do you live in such a way that, like Jesus, all the worst of society, air quotes, right? Our judgment of worst in society are drawn to you because you're just good. Right is irrelevant because you're just so good. It's real easy to get stuck in right and miss good. And that's the difference between elementary and adulthood. And I cannot overemphasize how important this is. Our churches are masterful at being right. We study to show ourselves approved. We live in the black and white of it all. And not to say that that doesn't have an important place. It's not the most important thing. It is not even close to the most important thing. And it only points to something much grander. And how we've started this series is the understanding that we are the second incarnation of Christ. Remember the arrows, right? Remember John 5:39? Jesus made it very clear. You search the scriptures, great. What does the scriptures do? They point to me. You're looking for eternal life, great. Scriptures point to me. So here's the Bible, and it points to something here. And we don't look right here, do we? An arrow means there's something beyond. That's Jesus. And then Jesus comes along and says, hey, I'm another arrow, and I am pointing. It's time, as Hebrews 6:1 says, to move beyond the elementary words of Christ and to their telos, their point. In other words, the Bible points to Jesus, and Jesus points to us. We His bride, we His body, we are the second incarnation. And we have a job to do. I hate to even use that word. We have a responsibility. Let's say it that way. And I think what we do is we get stuck here in the Bible, or maybe in the life of Christ if we're really mature, quote unquote. There's something beyond that. And I want to set something up today, and I've been kind of building into it. Next week's going to be a hard lesson, all right? Next week, most of you will leave here going, I'm not sure I agree with him. And that's awesome. I want you to struggle with it. But today, it'll be a little bit easier. But I want you to think, how do we grow up? What is that about pointing? What does it mean that the life of Christ points into us here today? And did Jesus envision something beyond himself? And I think that's a pretty clear estimation from Scripture. You know, when we take the SATs, we learn things like much more complicated. But 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. What's next? 4 plus 4 equals? That's not in the Bible. That's where we live. First two, 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2. This is what we learn. These are the boundaries. This is what God is. And then somehow we're supposed to take that and extend beyond it and say, okay, in our world, in our circumstance, we need to incarnate this world just like Jesus did. How do we do that? That's the hard work. That's the work of adults. And that is what we have to be about as a body of believers. Last week we talked about this concept of commander's intent. And let me remind you, John 13, Jesus expressly says, I am the world universe leader. I am the commander above all things. Everything has been laid at my feet. All authority has been given to me. So he picks up a towel, washes his feet, and begins to teach. So it's in a moment of command. I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. Let me give you a new command, just in case, because I'm about to leave. And you're going to be on the battlefield. You're going to be out there. And you're not going to be able to go to the Word or even my life because I'm not going to be here. And you're going to need to know how to operate in that moment. You need a commander's intent. We talked a little bit about that last week. Here it is. A new command I give you. What? Love each other well. Love others outside the church eventually. Love God implicit in loving each other well. But what I want you to focus on, Jesus says, here's my command. Love each other well. And it's in a context of extreme diversity. That's the point. How do we get along with one another is the ultimate purpose of God being here and expressing himself. And then he adds to it, when you do that, the world will know. You want to talk about evangelism? Love each other well. You want to love God? Love each other well. You want to start a great program to change the world? Love each other well. Well, it starts and it ends right there. And I think sometimes we miss that. So I want to draw us back. And Jesus honored faith of the centurion because he understood authority. He understood commander's intent. So that's our foundation. And there's some really loud implications of this. There's two that I want us to look at. This week we're going to look at this idea of alignment. I just spent 2 days at our Wright-Patterson base with a bunch of leaders from all over the base, and it was a 2-day alignment event. Doesn't that sound exciting? All you were thinking, man, I wish I could do that. It was just as boring as it sounds. But here's the point. We sat around and we talked about what is the purpose of the Air Force? What is the purpose of our wing? What is the purpose of our group? And how do we do it here? And we talked about it. We wrestled with it. And we fought and we wordsmithed. And it was, the point is, just take all of this commander's intent and boil it down into a focus. That's our alignment. So everything we do aligns with that. So today we're going to talk about that. The other half is authority. Because once alignment happens, when the commander says you go, you have the authority to make those decisions. Jesus has given us that authority. We're going to look at that next week, and it's going to be a little more challenging for you. But today, follow with me. The alignment piece, we're going to take out of John 17. Now, keep in mind, same book. So you got John 13. This is this magic moment where Jesus says, I have all authority. I came from God. I'm returning to God. And you're going to be without me. And so get ready. Here's what you need to know. Love each other well. That's the context. It's this special moment of washing feet around the special table that we just celebrated. This is the big moment. Well, just a few chapters later in chapter 17, Jesus does it again. But in this case, he does it before God. Now, it's one thing when I look at you and say, I am here from God, listen to me. If I didn't get struck by lightning, you want to sort of believe me, but you're not sure. But when I step back and say out loud, all right, God, they've heard me, and I need you to hear me. I've done what you told me to do. And then you repeat all the same message you just gave your special people just a few chapters before. Now, that is the epitome of blasphemy if you're not for real from God. I mean, this is a moment, and Jesus takes it up a notch, and he gives the same message. We're going to look at that and see how it converges to what we're saying. John 17. He starts this way. I'm going to be reading from NLT. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority. There it is again. Over everyone. Again, I'm the commander because you told me I was. He gives eternal life to each one that you have given him. He has authority. And this is the way to eternal life. To know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ to whom you sent to the earth. This is our vision statement at Church in the Falls. To know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known. It is right at the core of what Jesus is praying about. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. There it is again. I am from the Father and I am returning to the Father. He goes even more and says, look, I want the glory that I had before we started all this process again. Can you hear the gravitas of what he's saying here? He's just told his apostles, look, you need to understand, I am the commander of the universe. And I'm washing your feet. You call me Lord because I am. Now do this. Love each other well. And then he steps out in front of a bigger crowd and says, all right, God, I told him what you told me to tell me. Let me remind you, you've given me all authority. I have control over all things. They know it. You know it. I know it. I want to come back and I want to have the glory we started with because I miss that. And I'm about to leave these kids like almost orphans. And it's a transition and it's big and they're not quite ready, Lord. And I'm concerned about it. So he's praying. That's the context. He continues. My prayers are not for the world, but for those you've given me because they belong to you. Verse 15, I'm not asking for you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. So Jesus gets to leave and they're now by themselves on the battlefield. He's given them their commander's intent, right? He set all this up. Verse 20, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Uh-oh. You weren't at the Lord's Supper moment when he washed their feet. But Jesus connects that to each one in this room today. Do you hear that? Who in here has come to know the Lord by reading one of the books of the Bible? That's everybody, right? Unless you had some divine experience that you're not talking about. Jesus is praying for you with the same language. I am master of the universe. I am the commander. I've given my intent and now I'm praying for everybody that they would also understand what I'm about to say. Here's what he prayed. Verse 21. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us. So that the world will believe. There it is again. The point of all this is so that the world will understand. So now being one sounds suspiciously like loving each other well. That is alignment. I am in them, they are in me, verse 23. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know, there it is again, that you sent me, that you love them as much as you love me. Jesus wants you to know that he loves you and that God loves you as much as God loves him. He is praying for you specifically. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Because remember, he's leaving them here on the battlefield. Then they can see the glory that you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. There it is again, right? I'm going to go back. I want that glory and I want them to see it. There's something Jesus is looking forward to. Us coming home and seeing his glory where we all celebrate. Look at that guy. Commander of the universe, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, all the revelation praise. He's envisioning something big here. He's about to leave, and he's praying for you. And he keeps saying things like, I hope they're unified. I hope they love each other. I hope they get it, because if they get it, then the world will know. Again, evangelism, love each other well, or in this context, be one. So there's a really good question. What does it mean to be one? This is alignment. What does Jesus mean by this? To be completely one in perfect unity. I mean, there's an old joke that I say in marriage counseling. If both of you are the same, one of you is unnecessary, right? It's just the reality of life. Jesus picked the most 12 diverse people and put them together and said, y'all love each other well. Well, I can love that guy, but I don't know about that one, right? He's a tax collector. I can't love that guy. He's a zealot. He's going to kill me when I sleep. Jesus intentionally put those people together and said, now, here's the command. Here's the ultimate purpose of me being here. This is how the world will know. Guess what? You love each other well. Y'all be on the same page with your love for one another. Then the world will know. That's his whole point. And now he brings that to this alignment of being one. So how is it that all these diverse people are supposed to be one? Is it one in doctrine? I've heard this preached before. Do they believe all the same things? Is that the context? Does that make sense to you? You cannot read that into this. You could read that in other passages of the Bible and you can argue it a little bit, but it's a weak argument and it is definitely not what Jesus is talking about. Let's all believe the same way and the same thing. If you want to put one belief to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make him known, maybe we could argue that effectively. But that's not really what he's talking about, is it? It's about our lifestyle and our choices, how we live with one another and being one is really what he's talking about. It's not our intellectual, it's our process. It's not doctrine. Or what about another one is, what about our practice? Two songs of prayer, another song, a message, blessing. That's how we do it. We fight over lesser things, don't we? Is that what he's talking about? Would you read that and go, okay, clearly there's a system to the way church should look. We break that in our own church. We got double services typically before the pandemic. They're both different. Well, that can't be what he's talking about. I don't think I would intellectually, honestly say, well, that's what he's talking about. What about direction? It's a little bit better, right? What if we're on the same vector? Remember we used to talk about how a laser, if you turn a laser just slightly off, a mile down the road, it's really far away from where it started. Direction, right? On the same vector. But what happens if you're starting from a different place? For example, let's say the commander's intent is to get to the center of the table, and you're over here. Jesus says, I want you to do that. And you go, okay, I got to go left to get to the center of the table. Well, what about the other good brother who's on this side, starting from a different place? Now, he's going to the same location, but which way is he going, right or left? It's the exact opposite. And that's not even considering under the table, over the table, in front of the table, and behind. The ultimate commander's intent, love one another well, will look very different from where we're starting from. Does that make sense? So it's not one in direction. It's one in ultimate goal. It's one in the purpose of what Jesus said to do. Love each other well. When you both love each other well, even differently, now you're one. And I expect it to be different because, again, if we're all the same, some of us are unnecessary. That's just how that works. The point of the image of God is diverse and complex. But it makes us very uncomfortable. Like, here's a slide of a 3 and a 4. You see that picture? Oh, let's look at this real quick. You see how it's following that thing right there? Again, that's the idea of commander's intent. Wherever it goes, from whatever direction, that's what we're going to. Go ahead and hit the next slide. If you see, and one more after this. One more. There we go. Look at that picture. Is it a 3 or is it a 4? It's both, right? Depends on your perspective. It's 3, it's 4. It's both. Because you're coming from two different vantage points, but the goal is the same. It is the same item, whether you're looking at it from the left or the right. But it looks different because your starting place is different. That's why Jesus gives us commander's intent. We don't need a bunch of rules to live by. We need a vision that we work into and that will be different for all of us sometimes. Every individual church even. It's radical. Here's the next slide. Here's a traditional one from 6 and 9. And I want to take it up a notch. 6, 9. That's pretty already. Like, okay, I need to be patient with other people. But let's take it farther than that. What if it's not only 6 and 9? What if it's G and B? Now we move from numerical to alphabetical. It's a whole different world. And now we got color involved. There's black and there's white. And then there's A and E. Just one. Same thing. But depending on your vantage point, it's different. How do we align when we're all starting from such different places? That's the point of commander's intent. If we always come back to love each other well, we will be on the same page eventually. Through a bunch of bumpy, frustrating situations. And it allows us the freedom to let go of some of our mores and our absolutes. And this is the way it ought to should be. And the things we fight over. Come on. We've got to stop being children. I'm reflecting on our body here at Church in the Falls. And how we live and how we interact with others. And our social media presence and the way we talk. And the way we stand up for what we believe. To the point of fighting at times. We got to do better, church. We got to do better. That is not what Jesus intended. If the world says, I don't want to be a part of y'all because y'all are always fighting, biting and devouring each other, you've missed it. Doesn't matter whether you're right. You're wrong. Can you hear that? Very rarely will someone die for a right man. For a good man, maybe. Possibly. Jesus says, I want you to love each other the way I love you. While you were still sinners, while you were the worst. Right is wrong is irrelevant. He was good and He loved us well. That's what He's called us to do. And that is much more challenging. It's adult language, not child language. It's not, this is right and this is wrong. It's, what do we do here? And how do we honor people while we do it? It's so much easier just to throw a bunch of rules out there. And then whoever's in charge gets to enforce the rules. It's much more challenging to live with people and to wrestle through honesty. And that's just the difference of perspective. I want to give you an illustration. You know I love core values of society. I think this is fascinating. In England, the core value is propriety. There's a certain way it's done. If you watch the Queen's movements, there's just this is this and this is that. We come from that stock. Propriety is it's just the way it is. And I've got a great visual clip to represent that. Push play.
We're a Cracker Jack Brigade. On a packet term for rain. But we'd rather stroll to a water hole.
Hut, 2, 3, 4.
For a furlough in the shade.
Stop! Wait a minute.
Halt! Oh, oh! Who said halt? I give the commands around here. I'll speak up. Who was it?
Oh, it was me, Colonel.
What are you, Mitzah? Taking over my command. Highly irregular, you know.
That last line. Highly irregular, you know. That's not how it's supposed to be. There's a way it's supposed to be, and this is not right. Only I do the commands. That is English culture at its core. Watch. You tell me if I'm wrong. propriety. There's a certain way it's done. You have tea at a certain time. You do it this way. You don't do it that way. That's part of the brilliance of America is we busted from that. That's why we burned the tea. I mean, there was an intense to say, we don't want to do that anymore. We don't like all those rules, right? It's core part of their culture. Here's another one. In Australia, and I know this is true because I have some Aussie friends who have confirmed it. Their culture is something called fair go. And there is no more brilliant visual than the good old-fashioned Australian Mr. Dundee. Remember Crocodile Dundee? Here's a clip that is the epitome of fair go for the entire culture. Push play.
You got a light, buddy?
Yeah, sure, kid. There you go.
And your wallet.
Nick, give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife. Just kids having fun.
I love that, right? He's like, ah, that's not a knife. But that last line, just kids having fun. That's fair go. That is the epitome of the Australian culture. I don't know if it's because they were a penal colony for inmates. I don't know why. Georgia was too in our states. But there's something about that culture that's unique. And that's it. You punch someone, they punch you back. It's all good. It's fair go. See how opposite that is in propriety. You don't do that because that's not the way it's supposed to be done. But there, it's all good. Same stock as England, but different. In America, our core value is freedom. It's about art. It's about creation of things like the iPhone, right? It's beauty. Everybody's individual and everybody's special. It's our culture. It's freedom. It's different than propriety, and it's different than fair go. And yet all three come from the same stock. We all still speak English, and it's that different. Now, what if we were to take that even farther and look at, like, islands? Go ahead and click the next slide, Kathleen. You remember this very great song. Remember this, right?
One heart.
These are theological words.
Get
listen to the words.
And feel all right.
They bring the commandments
the children
again.
Crying.
One love.
Hear the children crying.
One heart.
Saying give thanks and praise to the Lord. And I will feel all right.
Oh, good. Click
then
the next slide.
Let's
I want you to think about this. I mean, these words are theologically rich, and it is a whole different vibe. When you hear that music, what do you want to do? You want to just kind of go, oh yeah, right? It's time to relax. When you go to Jamaica, as I've been a couple of times, and you're in a line, I remember vividly, we were at the airport, customs, I think, and we were all anxiety-ridden about getting to our location. And I remember the guy sat down and looked at him and was like, well, we'll get there when y'all are relaxed. We do things differently in Jamaica. And he was cool with that. I go home, whatever time I go home, whether y'all are, I mean, we didn't care. There's just a mellowness. Don't bring all that into our country, was what he was saying. Because we got a certain vibe here, and you're going to mess up the vibe. Same English speaking, same origin, yet it's still another radically different. It's completely the opposite, right? So what do you do when you bring the gospel? And the command is the same, love each other well, but you're coming from the left and the right and the front and the back. What do you do with that? How do we wrestle through that? That's what the alignment does. It pulls us from all of our directions. And then we can go farther than that. What about urban and rural? Even in our own society. The big city and the urgency and the busy. Or the rural, small town. Everybody knows everybody's business. What about matriarchal? Anybody ever heard of matriarchal societies? In our society, everything runs through the masculinity, right? Someone's in charge is probably a man. That's just how it's always been. But there are other societies in the world where it runs through the lady. The moms and the grandmas, they are the center of what makes society run. Can you imagine what that would be like for you to be in such a unique environment? Or even more than that, what about Asian culture? Now it's not just language or location. You've got other things. You've got language barrier. You've got an alphabet barrier. We can't even read the alphabet. Those squiggly lines don't make any sense to us. Oh, and farther than that, we've got a location difference, and now we have a cultural difference. Their core value is honor, respect, family, worshiping of ancestors. You don't dishonor the family. Period. So what do you do when the command of Jesus is the same? Love each other well, but the starting place is in the opposite side of the spectrum. How do we do that? That is the work of adult Christians. And we really got to do better at it. So this is what I want to set us. That's the alignment piece that is so critical for us to do what God has called us to in mission. Next week, we're going to talk about authority, because here's the thing. The reason we don't know what to do is because we're standing over here and we said, God wants us to do that. That means go right. And they're going left. There's a problem. And we never get to real discussion because we're arguing with the people who are going the wrong direction. Does that make sense? This is a really important concept. So how do we have the authority to say, my job is to go right, because that's my commander's intent. I've got to get here, which is love others well. And their commander's intent has authority to go left, because that's what they need to do. And how do we respect that, honor that, and still come to the table and go, I don't get you. You're strange. But I love you, because you're my brother or sister. I want to call us to that level. And next week we're going to look at that authority piece. I promise you, if you're not uncomfortable next week, you're probably not listening. I really want to push the envelope next week. So really come prepared. Don't argue with me too quick. I want you to really think about what I'm going to say, okay? I hope I hooked your appetite. Alignment, and next week is authority. We are the expression of Jesus in the world, and there's authority there that we need to take up and own. And it might make others uncomfortable. But our master is not those other people, is it? Who's our commander? Jesus. He's the one who brings it all. I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to sing a song. And it's a response time. If you'd like to respond in any way, feel free to do that. You can grab me up here in the front. There's also a prayer room right outside the exit sign there. There'll be one of our shepherds in there who can pray with you more silently and privately. But please reach out. If there's some way we can be an encouragement to you in your faith journey, we want to. Online, feel free to send something in the chat room or send an email. All of our emails are at churchinthefalls.org. So David, Michael, Jared, I don't know if Keely has one yet, but office at Church in the Falls. So reach out to us. Let us know. We can be praying for you. Would you join with me and let's pray? Father, we are humbled by this unbelievably great command that is so simple but so complex. Lord, I ask for wisdom. We need your spirit right now to lead us into adulthood as followers of Jesus. It is not an easy task, and the world is constantly moving. Father, give us wisdom. Give us grace. Help us to love each other so well that our alignment is clear and the world will be drawn to you by it. That is the goal. That is the focus. And Lord, I pray that we do it better than we do it now. Help us to do that, Lord. Give us that insight. But I pray that your spirit would convict us in areas that we need to grow and to be open-minded, to be careful and patient. I pray that your Holy Spirit would keep us contained, to bite our tongues when we need to not drop the mic, but to listen, to take advantage of what is so important in this world, to be present and responsive. Lord, help us to love well. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Respond if you would like. Let's stand and worship together.